This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Milo's Pro Rewards members, go big during Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. Buy more and save more with up to 20% off job site essentials like primed finger joint boards when you spend $3,000 or more. Plus, get up to 25% off PVC DWV pipes when you spend $250 or more. Shop Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. We help you save. Valid through 123. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Hey guys! Welcome back to another episode of Wine and Whispers.
All right. Today.
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 Today. So, Caribbean culture aside.
Okay. Where are you going with this?
Where am I going with this? Caribbean culture aside. Setting boundaries. Setting boundaries, breaking cycles, and self-healing journey. And it's hard.
It's not easy.
Depending on certain cultures. I know that you and I can specifically speak to Caribbean culture.
It's hard
because they don't believe in it.
Therapy? What's therapy?
Yeah.
What's boundaries?
You know, if you've ever felt drained, disrespected,
burnt out,
invisible, and any relationship, whether it's mother-daughter, mother-father, sister-sister, brother-brother, whatever.
I was like, you might say a lot. You can go through the gambit for that.
If you've ever felt, and probably more than what we just mentioned, tap in. And if you have started to
tap in. Okay, sorry.
If you've
it's my ADD brain taking that
songs.
But then taking that long to really put it all together.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
It's okay. But if you've ever been in that space where you're like, I gotta change, because if I continue to this, it's the toxicity. You know how long it took me to get to that word?
Toxicity?
Yeah. The toxicity that it weighs on you? Yeah. You ready to uncork?
And unwind. I don't know what we're drinking today, but it's wine. Don't ask questions.
What is that?
I don't know. No. When I tell you that I literally don't know, I know that it's white wine. I know that
I liked it.
I know that it's white wine. I know that it's from Spain.
Ooh.
And it was imported to Portland, Oregon.
Okay. Why Oregon?
That's where it says, Portland, Oregon. I don't know. Listen, I wish I had answers for y'all, but I don't.
All right.
So we just going to drink it because it needs to be drunk and it tasted good.
Fento. All right. Let me pour.
Okay. No.
Did we push this back into
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Just pull up.
Oh, yeah. My God. You got to wiggle it.
You got to wiggle it?
Yeah.
Was that too strong?
Yeah. I was pushing it too far. It's just being wiggled. So, while I'm doing this.
Yes.
Why are you scared?
Because I'm afraid. I don't want to get popped in the face with the cork. I don't think you would, but I'm just nervous. Okay. Hi.
All right. Tell me. Have you ever been in that space? And if so, what boundaries, if any, have you placed for yourself to not be put in that predicament ever again?
In what space?
Where you either felt disrespected, invisible, or somebody drained your energy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or not respected what you're asking them.
See, that was easy. It was. I was nervous. Definitely. There's definitely been moments. I'm going to go to a work environment because it's in my brain right now. So there's definitely a work environment where somebody, it's how she pours so evenly, where somebody came.
It's the mom in me.
It is. She wants to make sure that we're even. And we're just going to finish the bottles. We'll just top it off.
Okay.
You know, it's like there's a gulp left. Let's not be Harlem Knights and leave a gulp in the fridge.
A swallow.
So
I won't shoot your pinky toe.
No, please don't shoot my pinky toe. I need that. So sorry, my brain. So there was a moment where someone, I was in a meeting and somebody was, it was a colleague, and I was presenting these ideas and they continuously were cutting me off. Continuously. And it was a male colleague.
That's Aggie.
I was annoyed. Mm. It was a male colleague, and the person that we were presenting to was also a male. And it wasn't just us in the room. There were like maybe, what, five of us in the room? Five, six of us. And I just remember, and I was young at that point. So it was still very much in my younger years. And I remember just getting continuously cut off. I couldn't get my point out. So I was silent. I stopped talking in the meeting. Mm. As Aries and me specifically
it's
do.
It's a mechanism. It's not the great mechanism, but no, it's a mechanism.
It's a mechanism. I shut down. I just stopped talking. So a day or two passed. We were back on the same shift. And I walked up to him and I was like, hey, I don't know if it was intentional, but in the last meeting, you just kept kind of shutting me off every time I opened my mouth. Oh, well, I didn't mean to, Nikita. Listen, if you have some ideas, definitely let me know. We can present it to the boss. No problem. Da, da, da. I said, all right, don't worry about it. I'm already going to present it to the boss. I sent him an email with my ideas, whatever. Done. All right, so we have a weekly meeting. So the next week, we go back and I start talking again. Well, you know, and I, at that point, I was like, hey, I didn't finish my thought. Do you mind if I can just step in real quick and then you can come in behind me with whatever your thought was? This man straight looked at me.
Good.
And was just like.
Good.
What?
Because the last thing you're going to do.
Don't talk over me. And at this point, I was young again. Right.
You're still trying to find your voice.
Still trying to find my voice. But my teacher voice came out. And if you guys don't know, my teacher voice is very much different than this normal voice. Because it's
deeper.
I have a smidgen of a bass. And it's like, hey. It was like, and it was strong. And he,
I don't know if Mike was ready for that.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mike. And then he legit just stopped. My boss looked at me and was just like, what did you have to say?
Because they were happy that you were using your throat chakra. I'm happy you used your throat chakra.
But he was, so technically I had one boss, right? So the main man was my boss. And then he had these little subordinates and I was one of them. So, but the subordinates were technically above me in the chain of command.
Mm-hmm.
Technically. But y'all was trash. But technically. So he thought that he should have been talking above me.
Mm-hmm.
And that his right and what his was saying, he was saying what his thoughts were and all that other bullshit was what the real deal was. And I was like, okay, listen. We had a conversation last week. I asked if you just let me talk. And then we go from there. Instead, you still come into the same meeting strong as a bull, trying to knock me out. Little do you know, I'm stronger than you. I may be tiny, but my center is lower and I'm going to knock you at your knees.
Hmm?
Let me go. Yeah, at that point, he stopped talking to me.
So to your point about how it can happen in many settings.
So many.
Points of reference for boundaries can be emotional,
mm-hmm.
physical, mental, and spiritual. I know this study is a little bit delayed, but in 2022,
mm-hmm.
the APA, or the American Psychological Association,
yep.
they found that 59% of adults
mm-hmm.
reported experiencing emotional burnout due to poor boundary setting at work. And in personal relationships. And by personal, it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, couples. And more than often than not, it's women.
It's always women.
Women and people of color that struggle with personal boundary setting. For me, mm-hmm. I would say I had more of my throat chakra at work and less of it in my personal space. And when I started to work on myself,
mm-hmm.
my therapist was like, well, you need to set boundaries. And I'm like, do you understand?
Like, what does that mean?
Right. What does that mean? I can't set boundaries because culturally you set boundaries as it's a form of disrespect.
Oh, you disrespect me?
Right. Or you think you're grown, you know, and we've heard them. But her response to me was, so they'll be upset for a little bit. They'll get over it. And that made me think of all the times where I really did stand strong and how they were annoyed for a little bit.
They were.
And things went back to normal. So little by little, I started incorporating little minor things. And no, like the first time I said no.
To whom?
We ain't gonna go there.
Okay, it's the first time you said no.
The first
time. In your personal life.
In my personal life. Okay. The first time I said no. Mm-hmm. It was like a, why are you being so different? Yes. Why are you changing? Who are you? Or such and such is influencing you. Mm-hmm. And stay strong.
Hold strong. No, stay strong, girl.
The peace of mind I had knowing that I could be like, no, it was scary as shit. But the fact that after it had passed, mm-hmm. the peace of mind that I had knowing that I did say it. Let me fix myself when I say this.
Okay.
The power I felt. And it wasn't like a... it wasn't like a cockiness.
No.
It was like a holy shit. Mm-hmm. I'm heard.
Are heard.
That's mine. I can take that back. Was a glorifying feeling.
So... I stumbled upon this. So I did some research.
Okay.
I never do research.
Yes, you do.
I don't. I sit here and talk.
You do research.
I don't. Let's rephrase. I research. I don't bring the research to here. I just sit and remember what I read.
Okay.
No, this fact.
Oop, not me hitting it. Sorry.
This fact stuck out to me that I had to bring it today. So, as you know, we all scroll on Instagram and TikTok and all those things.
I'll drink it, but it's not.
No, yeah, we're gonna drink it. And I've been coming across this thing on Instagram, which I think led me to this topic today about being in your villain era.
Ooh, yes.
Have you been seeing that?
Yes.
Okay.
Especially zodiac signs.
Oh yeah, Aries living their villain era. We're really in it. But it's been coming across my feed, and maybe just because I also watch a lot of Aries things. It's definitely coming across my feed. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And just living in my villain era, which means that you're setting those boundaries. You're saying no. You are limiting yourself to the toxicity in your life and the way that it's making you feel. And instead, looking for things that are going to make you feel better and blocking out those toxicity things, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So TikTok had a report and it said for the year of 2024, their search for villain era on TikTok surpassed 1.4 billion views.
Wow.
And they're saying that it's showing a massive culture shift in how we talk about self-prioritization mm-hmm. and empowerment.
Good.
Which it is true because I think after, of course, everything after COVID, everyone's thinking differently. And so now I think now that we've kind of really stepped out of COVID, we're out in the world, we are living our lives.
Right.
Now we're really thinking about and being honest and talking out loud with other people, not just therapists, but like friends to friend,
right.
Mom to mom, no, child to mom, whatever, right. You know, talking about like, no, I hear what you said, but I don't want to do it.
Right.
And we're being honest in those conversations now. Before,
I also think there is. Couldn't happen. I also think there is a level of, I see you, you see me, I feel it too.
Yeah. It's right? Transparency.
It's transparency, but there's also camaraderie. That's what I'm looking for. There's a level of camaraderie where it's like, oh, you're feeling it too. I thought it was just me. And the acknowledgement of like, okay, what are you dealing to cope with it? And this is what I'm dealing to cope with it. Well, I didn't try that. Let's flip the script and try each other's coping mechanism and see how it works, right? Because I'm not maybe setting that boundary. The person who I'm setting the boundary with is not receiving it the way I want them to.
And maybe you need to do an idea how to set this new boundary so that they can receive it the way you needed to receive them.
Correct. Or if, you know, even for some people where they're afraid to try therapy, right? Because there's a stigma attached to it culturally. Like
for years. I think it's still. I'm trying to tread lightly when I say this. I think for years. Okay.
I'm ready.
I can only speak to me because I can
only. And your life, correct?
So, I went to school for school counseling.
Okay.
But I, from what I, the nuggets and the gems that I took from school counseling allowed me to feel free at when I became an adult to say, I need counseling. Because the way I grew up wasn't horrible, but there are some things that I dealt with where I'm just like, I need to work through this because if I need to be a better human, this is not it.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being told by a family member, because I suggested the opportunity to join me. And I was told by a family member,
we don't do that.
You may need it, but I don't need it. Then
this you probably do need it.
Right. And so
we all need it.
My sister has gone to get the help that she needed. I've gone to get the help that she needed. She like all of us, right? Mm-hmm. So her son's getting the help that he needs. And there's no shame.
There is no shame
attached to it. My daughter gets the help that she needs. I was even surprised because there was a point in time where
this podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
My Andre and I, like, you know, needed to work on different things, and we got the help that we needed.
And you talk about it.
And it was things that we didn't think about, like something as simple as someone, an objective person, not knowing your personal experiences,
mm-hmm.
hearing the things that you're feeling and tapping into something that you didn't think about. Like,
they think differently.
Right. And so being able to have that third objective view
makes this
world of difference. Puts a lot of things into perspective, lets you step outside of yourself and say, okay, this is what I'm feeling. And they practice with you in terms of how do you have that conversation with somebody?
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the steps that you think
how will you set lead them boundaries
to feel confident in approaching that person? So
absolutely.
It's not to say that you're crazy, but to get the tools that you need to be able to protect yourself
better.
You know, better mm-hmm. to protect your peace.
Absolutely. So I feel like I can again talk about my own issues, right? And mm-hmm. my growing up. You didn't go to therapy.
Right.
Girl, you did what? You talked to somebody about your issues?
Because family business stays where?
In the family.
Tight.
What?
Lip.
We don't air our dirty laundry. That was something that was said forever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure it's still said forever with all the confines of my family.
Right.
We don't air our dirty laundry. So.
Right, because what is such and such going to think? What are the neighbors going to think? And you have to come to a point where I don't care what they think, because guess what? It's not them living with it, and it's not their peace. It's mine.
Correct. But it's also my therapist is not my neighbor. Like, I will never, ever forget. I'm just like, I went to therapy. And I first got introduced to therapy because it was at my school, my high school, college.
Okay.
And they offered free counseling.
Okay.
It was available. Let me tell you, for me, college was hard.
Mm.
College was hard because I was the first generation in college, right? So, like, me and my brother are the first generation in college. Like, mm-hmm. our parents didn't go.
Yeah.
They did other things. They got their certificates after the fact, whatever, right? So, college time for both of us.
The adjustment. The shock.
The needing for validity that the weight of my family wasn't on my shoulders. Because I had to do it. I had to do it. And there was no option for me not to do it.
Because you're doing something, you're not staying in the house.
You're not staying in the house. I had a job. Let's talk about this. I had a full-time job and I was in school full time.
Oh, wow.
And then on top of that, somehow I found a dance school that was down the street from my school, and I started teaching.
Wow.
Plus a full-time job. So wait a minute. So I've been hustling, right? I've always been a hustler. So when I went, I remember my first time that I went in and I just sat down and I looked across the therapist. Don't remember her name, but it was a she.
Okay.
And this is when I realized, it was in this moment that I realized that having a person of color in a therapy session was important for me. When I sat down, I started talking about all the things that I was going through. She was like, it's going to be okay. You're going to be able to look through this and get through this, and you're going to see that there's a silver lining at the end of this, and you're working for a reason. And I remember just sitting there and I'm like, you didn't hear about my generational trauma? You didn't just hear about the fact that I'm first gen?
Oh, so she wasn't a good match for you?
No. She wasn't hearing the things that I was saying. She was just saying that I was going to come out on the other side and be okay, which is true. I am. I'm fine. But you're not helping me process the fact that I have all of this responsibility on my shoulders.
Yeah.
You're just telling me it's going to be okay. How is it going to be okay? You're not going through what I'm going through.
Right.
So that's when I realized that therapy is lovely, but with the right person.
Right. Now, as someone who went through a counseling program, we had to do a certain amount of practicum, and it was with different clients, and okay, we had to record them and get the practice so that we can get the feedback on, you know, different things. Was that this situation for you? Was it a situation where this person needed to get a certain amount of hours in order to graduate counseling, or was this someone already licensed and practicing?
No, this was a licensed person. This was not a student within the...
Okay.
It
wasn't a grad student.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
It was a long time ago.
Okay.
The
only reason why I say that is because...
Then that would make sense.
A licensed practical practitioner should have the foresight to be able to pick things up like that, versus someone who's in grad and trying to understand and navigate
all the things.
Right.
Okay. I don't think it was a grad. I really don't. It definitely was... I don't feel like it was a student. I feel like it was... Maybe she was a new grad.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she was new into the game. It just wasn't for me.
I understand.
She wasn't for me because it's for me.
Yeah, I understand it. The first session, I was in there for less than 10 minutes and I cried. Everything that came out of my mouth was just tears. And to this day, I bring it up and I talk to, and I still have the same
person. I'm still getting the same person?
I still have the same person.
Okay.
12 years later.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You built a relationship.
I built a relationship. And I think I mentioned in another episode before, the first time I went to session,
mm-hmm,
I sat there, I said everything I needed to say,
mm-hmm,
and she just looked at me. I think I did, because I was like, you got to sit comfortable in your silence.
Yes. And she just stared at you.
She just stared at me. Handed me the tissue. And I just started processing, like, well, why am I letting people do this to me? Why am I letting it be okay? Why have I not said anything? And the realization, which I'm going to come to, is pleasing and guilt.
Because we want to be pleasers.
How childhood or cultural expectations influence boundary setting. Why guilt shows up when you say no. And how to work through it. And then being able to hold it.
Mm-hmm.
Own it.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the hardest part of setting boundaries.
Because you're going to let go,
right? Because you the boundary setting has created a characteristic that makes you feel like I don't want to disappoint.
But you do,
to the point where when you do put the boundary up, you don't know how to sit in owning that,
mm-hmm,
because you know you're going to be met with the,
well, why are you doing this? Well, this is affecting me in my life. But you're being selfish. But wait, so now we don't get to do this together. So you're cutting me out of your life.
And everything's for the convenience of the other person or the other people.
Girl.
And this is where my girl. Hello, Miss
Hey, Mel. Mel.
You knew I was going to say that. Hey, Mel. This is where my girl comes in. And she talks about in the let them. Sorry, guys. I'm just going to fix this a second. You have to come to a point, and this doesn't necessarily require much conversation, mm-hmm, on your part, but rather you've been asked of something to do something, or someone oversteps in any kind of way and you feel your boundaries feel threatened.
Okay.
And the best you can do, because why? Why am I going to sit here and get upset and pour this energy into something that frustrates me that this person does, when you can sit back and realize that's their problem?
So wait, I just read a book as well, or I listened to a book. The title was The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
Similar thing. You sit back.
Yo.
You have to sit back and you just like, it can annoy you. And then you're like, but why is it annoying
me? Right.
Let them do. Let them go to their own demise.
Yes.
So sit back. So, and that's the
don't give a fuck.
Yep. That's their problem. I need to download the one she has for the kids, but I've taken a subtle, you know, tidbit from it. And, you know, I'm at the stage where I have my daughter. She's got to fight back. It's natural. I get
it. Preteen.
Right. So I would get upset. I'd get frustrated.
No.
So now I'm just like, okay. You don't want to hear what I have to say because I have the experience?
Okay.
You'll learn, because some people, my husband's phrase, not mine. Some people don't believe shit stinks until it smacks them in the face. And sometimes I have to let her go through that experience. I'm going to come back to it. I have to let her go through that experience for her to realize, damn, mom was trying to warn me. If that's how she has to learn it, that's where I am. Now, granted, I'm not going to let her go and fall off a cliff or nothing, but certain things, I'm like, okay, you don't believe it's cold outside? You want to wear a little jacket? By all means, let's go. We're late. She'll go outside, mom, you were right, it was cold. I know.
Shit don't stink
until it smacks you in the face.
I know his mama didn't tell him that.
I think that was his dad. Oh, he gave him that phrase. Or he learned it because he used to play basketball in the park.
Okay. Shit do sting.
Right. But there are people who
I know.
Don't believe the sky is blue. They want to say it's periwinkle. Okay. That makes you happy.
Periwinkle just sounds pretty.
It does sound pretty, but it's blue.
I know, but it just sounds pretty.
Right.
Anyway, so
you got to let people stew. What's the word we say? Stew. You got to let people stew in their own thing, because, again, setting boundaries is the art of protecting your peace. It's the art of not allowing yourself to get frustrated. Because every time you get frustrated, there's a level of
In your brain. That just goes and it rises, and then your blood pressure rises. And then at some point, you're going to explode.
I'm not trying to give myself an early.
No.
Nope.
At all. An early heart anything.
Yep.
An early blood anything. So I'm very much a neat person.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I've come to realize that my husband is not a neat person. No shame, no shade. It's just, he knows it. His level of cleanliness is not my level of cleanliness.
Facts.
My level of cleanliness comes from a House of Caribbean parent.
Yeah.
Which is not the same.
Wait a minute. Pause now. There is cleanliness Caribbean, where there's nothing and everything's minimal. And then there's cleanliness Caribbean, where there's the hoarders.
No. Mine is there's nothing.
Okay.
That's where I get it from. We're like,
I grew up with clean hoarders.
I do not. Have you ever seen me behind the desk? And I'm like, the desk is a mess. I'm getting agitated. I can't work. So I can't work in a mess. I can't. It's my brain. I can't do it. Have you ever seen me just sit there and just start throwing shit away?
Yeah.
It's from my mom.
I have that in me, but and that's why I told Andre, if you see me clutter, it's because I'm overwhelmed and I don't want to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. No. I just start throwing shit away. I understand. Listen, I understand. There's moments where there's clutter in my house and I just can't do it because I need to be at the studio and I have to leave now. If I don't leave now, I'm going to get there late. If I get there late, I can't open the door. If I can't open the door. These are the things that are running through my brain. So then I leave it. Okay. Again. So now I used to yell.
At him.
All the time. Why are there dishes in the sink? Why are your clothes downstairs in the lobby? No one wants to come into the foyer and see your socks. Like, all these things. Why didn't you put the food away? Why is the food still on the dining room table? You ate 4 hours ago. You ate at 8 o'clock. Your dishes are still in the sink.
Side note.
Yes.
Did he grow up where someone else cleaned up after him?
I don't know. I feel like the answer is no.
Okay.
I feel like I know his parents well enough to know that his mom, at least, would be like, I'm not your maid.
Mm.
I'm not your maid.
So she just let him be sloppy. And some parents do.
Maybe. Anyway, my blood pressure was boiling. And I have come to realize that
I need to not give a fuck.
Yep.
I need to set that boundary for myself. I need to know the boundary that for him, he's not going to clean up. All right. So guess what I do now? I don't ask anymore. There's dishes in the sink. I'm going to put them away. The dishwasher ran and it's not been unloaded. And I know he's been home all day. All right, I'm just going to unload it.
Oh, see, I won't do that. I'll leave it there.
No, because I can't. I can't.
I'll leave it there.
Because then
I will ignore.
For days, Denise. Days. Weeks.
Oh, I do laundry and the laundry will sit. Where's this? Where's that? The laundry bag is there. I did it.
No.
Out of my hands.
Wait, the day that I do laundry at the house, right? Especially because now I'm home. So I do laundry, try and do a load a week, one load. I will never forget. I did laundry. I laid on the bed. I hung it up on hangers. It was folded. It was literally ready to be put away. He's asked me not to put his clothes away because he puts it away a certain way.
Yes.
Fine. But I can at least do everything up to putting away. Mm-hmm. So we came home. He put his stuff on the floor. Let me tell you how I was quick to say this. And this is where I know that I'm okay. It was work where my throat chakra didn't work, but at home I can talk. I looked at him and I was just like, that was really disrespectful what you did. I took time, energy out of my day, carved it out to make sure that you had clean clothes, and you decided to just throw it on the floor like it didn't matter.
What was his response?
You are absolutely correct, Makita. Let me do better.
Okay, good.
He has, since that moment, he has not put his clothes on the floor. They've been put away.
It's funny you say that. So while Andre was and I were encountering together.
Mm-hmm.
So quick backstory. There were a lot of steps that we did in our relationship that we might have made a miss. And I'm sure everyone has.
Everyone does.
Right?
We're not perfect.
And
we're
it human. Was counseling that had us realize we never lived alone together as a married couple.
Stop. We've never lived. Oh, because when you were married, you had the baby.
Right. So I've slept over his. He slept over mine. We didn't live together as two individuals. As
a couple, always ever. Been three.
We've or always more. Been three. So there were things that we never thought of that would, you know, in terms of conversation and boundaries.
Like what?
If you can share.
Like, yeah.
How one person likes this, how one person likes that versus another person. I'm like all showing you
just
guys
show
everything.
The skin. Yeah, just show it. Just show it.
And so one of the things that he mentioned when we were in session was, so you guys never really sat and talked about each other's boundaries. Mm-mm. And when he said that, it was like, I guess we haven't. Like what he likes in terms of what he would need from me,
mm-hmm.
and vice versa.
Of course.
And it was an eye opener. And so when you said that, this is one of those things that comes up that you guys are working through that we didn't get to go work
yes.
through. So once
very much
we
so.
Learned, okay, I don't like this and you don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
There was a level of checking in of,
are you okay?
Are you okay? Or, hey, I'm going to do this. Is this okay for you? Mm-hmm. Or or, are you okay with that? You know, so that this way it wasn't another trigger or another
definitely a trigger
straw to go on top of the stack.
To break the camel back.
Exactly. So boundaries is not necessarily like a hard stop, don't do it.
It's no.
It's also a check-in. And I wanted to say that because it reminded me of that.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. It is because it's one of those where like, for me, right, in my boundary, whatever my boundary may be, but my husband, my friend, a coworker can be like, hey, I know that I'm nearing your boundary line.
Mm-hmm.
Is it okay if I cross over?
Yeah.
By doing this action?
Yeah.
And in that moment, it might be okay because
You've asked permission.
You talked to me about it.
Yeah.
So I'm not blindsided. It's when you blindside a person that they're like, fuck that. And they explode and they become a different person.
You know what that is?
Anger.
Violation.
It is a violation. It's a violation.
It's a violation. It's a violation of my peace. It's a violation of
the sanity you built.
Mm-hmm. It's harmony. A violation of what could be a trigger for me.
So many things.
So many things. So I'm gonna tap into this really quick.
I'm ready.
A report by Mental Health America showed that individuals with clear emotional boundaries reported 43% less stress and 37% higher self-worth.
I'm waiting for the drop.
I'm not drunk.
I know.
Over time, it was a tongue twister. With that said, is there a boundary you wish you had set sooner in life?
Yes.
Okay, this is an open-end question.
I know.
Okay.
I was going to answer. I just had to answer that emphatic yes.
Mm-hmm.
I love my mother. Mm-hmm. I absolutely do. And I will never not love my mother. But man, does she test my boundaries all the time. All the fucking time.
I think it's a Caribbean thing. I can't say Caribbean. Caribbean, an African diaspora thing.
My mom's Asian.
You don't have, your mother doesn't have no African roots in her.
My mother's Asian and Indian.
Okay.
Because my grandmother was Indian.
Okay.
Maybe she might have a little bit of African in her, but she was mostly Indian.
But there's similarities in the Indian culture
there's a lot of similarities. There's some letters in the Asian culture. Anyway, yeah. Anywho.
Tiger Mom.
I love Tiger Mom. Anyway.
Not Tiger Mom. Tiger Moms.
Oh.
I like Tiger Mom too. Maybe you need some.
I think I need some. That's why I thought you were talking about Tiger Mom. Because I was like, oh, I think I do need some. Anyway. So. I realized that I have a hard time mm-hmm. saying no to my mom.
Okay.
And I wish my childhood was different. We talked about it last episode. Yeah. Was it last episode, two episodes, whatever.
Yeah. Pause. You have a hard time because they hit you with the guilt?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to tell you a story.
Okay.
I stood 10 toes down, but man, did I feel guilty. So it was Easter. Not you scrolling up to get the facts for me.
I'm just saying, why guilt shows up when you say no? Because they will gaslight and guilt. But go ahead. Continue with your story, please.
It was Easter. My mom asked. First off, I think this was like the day before Easter or like the Friday before Easter. She calls and she's like, I answer. Hey, mom, how are you?
Oh, you're an adult now.
I'm an adult. This literally just happened. So I'm still having a hard time.
Okay.
Hey, mom, how are you? So are you cooking Easter dinner for me? That was how the conversation started.
She said that to you. Okay.
There wasn't a hello. Hey, Nikita, how are you? No, the first thing out of her mouth was, are you cooking Easter dinner for me? Are you cooking for Easter or whatever? No, I wasn't planning on it. And then I'm like scrolling in my back of my memory, which doesn't always work. Did I fucking say I was cooking fucking dinner and I didn't remember that I was saying this? Shit, I have no food in my house. Shit, where I need to go food shopping tonight. Shit, what am I going to make? Like
panic.
The anxiety that I had in that one sentence.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, did I say that? No, you didn't. Okay, well, no, I'm not cooking. My plan was to stay home for Easter. So Easter Sunday, right? I'm pretty sure that this was the first Sunday that I was home.
In a long time.
In a long ass time. I go 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. I don't complain. I do. I don't complain. I just fucking do it at this point. Because at the end of the day.
This is yours, you grind.
I have a vision. And my vision will come to fruition where it will come. But I know that I have to work hard now.
Okay.
All right. Fine. The first thing out of her mouth. Well, that's kind of selfish and lazy.
I'm going to stay silent because I know this all too well. I feel it all too well, but go ahead.
Mind you, I was at my job.
Working.
I was working. I had clients in my lobby. You know what I wanted to do?
Cuss that off.
No, I wanted to cry. I wanted to cry so hard because at the end of the day, I'm not selfish. Right. I'm not lazy. I am tired, though. Yeah. I am so tired.
But good tired because it's yours.
Right. Okay. So.
You see what I did there?
I did. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
So I was just sitting there and I was just like, no. The answer is still no.
Yeah. I'm good. Thank you.
And then she was like, well, if I cook, will you come over?
I'm good.
No. The answer
is no. Could you just be in a place where I don't want to be around you?
Oh my God. So I wish that if I had the forethought or if I had the strength to do it earlier, mm-hmm. it would have been to say no earlier.
Yeah.
So that I'm comfortable saying no now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I had to fight a similar situation, setting boundaries. And that's when I think was one of the first times I was like, damn, I feel good about this. Cause I was, but in that instance, I was backed up.
What?
I was backed up by Dre.
Oh, I want you to know you said backed up. I'm like, you couldn't poop? Wait a minute.
No. I was backed up. And I don't hide this.
Yes.
So early on, I recognized that my eldest had a little hyperness that was hyper than most, right? And so when we find out that she was diagnosed, there were certain things that we were being mindful of to remove from her diet to make sure there weren't triggers, like red dye 40, yellow, whatever those things are, sugary things.
Yes.
So I had to have the conversation with both mothers. My mother-in-law and my mother.
Okay.
Letting them know, because, you know, grandmas are going to be grandmas, which is fine. But I had to say, hey, we are no longer giving her these things because it's only going to expedite her hyperness, which makes her even more oppositional, defiant, and makes it harder for her to follow the directions that are given to her.
Have you told her this?
Who?
The child. She knows this?
No, she doesn't know this.
Does she know that she can't eat these things?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, she knows. Okay, yes. Go ahead.
So I appreciate that. My mother has some semblance of knowing this because we've already trying to do, but I know that she sneaks some things in when she's not supposed to be sneaking them in.
Grandma's.
Right. But even then I call her out like, no, we're not doing this. Mm-hmm. Right. My mother-in-law, on the other hand, mind you, both different cultures, different expectations. They do what they want to do because they're grandmas. So I tell her. But what she did is she played the card of she didn't understand me.
Mother-in-law?
My mother-in-law.
Lies she told.
She played the card of she didn't understand what I was saying. So when I came to pick Nella up when Nella was younger at one time.
Okay.
And
you could saw she
that
hyper.
She gave her a Pop-Tart. I'm like, a cherry or a strawberry Pop-Tart.
That has the red 10.
That has the red 40.
40.
Just, I think there's different levels. Whatever. I think the red 40.
It's red whatever.
Right. And she was like, oh, in my day, we never did anything. It's, again, the gaslighting. I love her dearly. Right? May she rest in peace.
Love her dearly.
The gaslighting of, oh, in my day, we never did anything. Oh, this is, she's just being a kid, or they're just making anything up nowadays.
No, it's real.
So I had to come back to Dre and say, hey, I know I said this to your mother. I know she understood what I was saying.
Not she understood.
But can you just reiterate to her again in Spanish?
Because it's... Did he?
Yeah, he did.
It's serious.
That's why I said I was backed up. Because
I appreciate him backing you up.
Yeah, because, and I was like, because I don't want to be rude to tell her, like, I'll pack her food. I was like, less sugar, less everything. Because she would take the bus with her. Because she worked at the school that she was going to.
Really?
So she would pack snacks for her to have on the bus ride home. Because she cared for us, like, that was aftercare.
That's grandma, right?
Right, and I love that. I appreciate that.
Me too.
But can we do healthier snacks, please?
Absolutely. Strawberries.
She was not,
Mango.
She was very in her feelings about it because you're also talking about a generation that grew up on
that wasn't a thing,
processed, packaged food.
But wait, so talking about that, side note, what was processed and packaged back then
is not the same.
It's not the same. So she doesn't know that all of these things are additives or they're added in. And so now it's a whole different thing. So I do get it.
Yeah.
But you did have a conversation.
Yeah. So when those boundaries were stepped over, I started packing snacks for her. And she felt some kind of way. Like, what are you trying to say? I'm kill your child.
Enough.
The gaslighting. So when you have someone there to support that boundary or you show up in okay, you don't want to respect my boundaries? No problem. Here, I'll pack the snacks for my kids. So when people see that you're standing on business, they kind of fall back. They're in their feelings and they can be in their feelings.
Oh, they're definitely
in their
feelings.
This is where you let them and the let me part of the
let them theory.
I was packing the snacks. You don't want to do it? No problem.
It's fine.
I would pack the extra snacks for her so you can understand she can't have that.
She can't.
Because I don't want to pick her up. And you're telling me she was talking back to me. She was rude to me. So one time she didn't listen and she didn't give her the snack. This is where the let them comes in. She was talking to, I was like, well, if you didn't give her the snack, never gave a snack after that.
Really?
Didn't buy those snacks anymore.
Because she's a different person.
She realized, oh, shoot, this is what she was talking about. She's like, she's extra hyper. She was rude. She was disrespectful. And
this is before she could process those emotions, right, too.
She was 5'6".
I remember her at that age.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, she couldn't process. Yep. She was such cute.
Yep. And at that time, we hadn't even, you know, started the other journey of how to cope with it. Mm-hmm. So she was literally a flood of emotions.
Yeah, she was feeling all of these things.
But if you don't want to respect my boundaries, let them. Let me.
So, Denise, how do I set boundaries? I know you have the data.
I have the data.
I know she has the data.
So,
you gotta say no. That's one thing that I know. You gotta say no.
It's hard.
And you have to stand 10 toes down.
It says, say no.
Look,
and
say
you,
no.
And you gotta work through it, right? So one of the examples, it goes, have you ever said yes to something you really didn't want to do and just to avoid conflict? If they're asking
earlier,
right. If they're asking you in the midst of it, here's a coping tool. It says,
oh shit, I just went through this actually.
What?
Oh, I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
Oh.
That doesn't really work for me right now. I appreciate the offer, or I'm sorry I can't help. Let's connect another time. Another thing, someone told me you don't say sorry. Because what are you apologizing for?
What are you apologizing for? I agree. But that's so, I don't know about you, but maybe it's just my personality. I definitely do say sorry. My bad. Apologies.
Right.
Sorry for the inconvenience.
Or sorry that doesn't work for you. Not that it doesn't work for me, but it doesn't work for you.
Don't work for you.
So boundaries and self-healing. How boundaries protect your mental health, energy, and self-esteem. Saying no is a form of saying yes to yourself.
I also want to say no is a complete sentence.
It is.
I had to say that to a kid the other day. Mm-hmm. What were we talking about? I don't know. What was they talking to someone else about? I don't remember. But they then said no, and then they continued the conversation. And I said, stop. No is a complete sentence. Whatever I asked or whoever, I don't remember the conversation. I just remember saying, no is a complete sentence.
Good.
You do not need to explain any further. Thank you so much. And go back to class.
Do you know that is a trauma response to your boundaries being overstepped?
Yes. I do know that because I did research on it.
It's a trauma response. And
you feel the need to explain to then still please.
To validate why your no is okay.
Your no is okay because your no is okay.
And I had to learn.
The hard way?
I had to learn to not. And it's funny.
I still do it.
But it's funny because I would have conversations with different people and I would say no and give no explanation. And they would be like, well, what's your explanation? Or if I did say no and I gave an explanation, well, you don't need to explain. And then I had to finally say to a couple of people, well, which one do you want? When I don't explain, you're saying I'm not giving you enough information.
When I do explain,
you're saying that I don't need to overcompensate by giving an explanation. So you're going to understand when I tell you no, when I tell you this is my answer, you're going to sit with that, right?
And stop talking.
And again, because you are now stepping into a space where you're like, red line.
Yep.
They're like, well, what do you mean? And they're pushing back. And so you know what? Sometimes you have to sit in silence when you're pushing back.
It's hard.
Sometimes I get in the space where my answer is my answer and people don't like my answer. And I sit there quietly and they're like, you're not going to say anything. I'm processing it. No, I'm not. I'm not listening to you anymore. I've shut you out. But if that's the answer you need to hear so you can feel better, that's what I'm going to say.
Get.
I'm processing it. Oh, I hear you.
I hear you.
I do.
But I ain't listening.
Because I already gave you my answer.
I'm processing it. But I really don't give a damn what you're saying because I've already told you my answer.
And the answer was no. So that's how I've dealt with it.
Okay.
This is where I really have honed in on the let them, let me. Mm-hmm. Because I can't allow myself to get frustrated on someone else's behavior or someone else's action.
No, absolutely
and
not.
And then absorb that. I can't.
Because then you overthink and then you try and figure out how to make everyone else feel better. No, you can't. You can only control your own emotions. Okay, I'm sorry I cut you off.
No, you're good. Loneliness or pushback that can come with healing changes dynamics, and they will. People will, you either will show up for people differently or they're going to approach you differently. And that's okay. Because you know why they're going to show up differently? They know they can't fuck with you no more.
Facts.
They cannot take advantage of you no more.
And I feel like
they cannot gaslight you no more.
Not gaslight.
I feel they cannot infiltrate your thoughts anymore. They have no control over you anymore. And let me tell you something. Again, the power that comes with that
is
yeah. It's amazing. And it's not a power trip. It's a power like, yeah, I'm good.
It's lethargic. That's what it is. Because it's, you're realizing, yes, it's taking this burden off your shoulder that you never wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're just letting it go, which feels so nice.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was going to say before.
Because it was very important to you for you to hear that.
It was. I agree. Was. I don't remember what I was going to say.
It's okay.
So go ahead.
Dynamics, relationships, how they change.
Mm-hmm.
How they can't focus that
means
you no more.
Wait, so that I think I kind of remember. Mm-hmm. That kind of means that you're going to lose friends, possibly. You're going to lose relationships. You're going to lose bonds. And
that's okay.
It is okay. Because that means that person wasn't for you. And that's something that you're just going to have to accept. If that person wasn't for you, then you weren't for that person. We've talked about this multiple times. There are friends who I don't talk to for days, for weeks, for months. But it's a quick,
yeah.
And it's like you never stop talking.
Yeah.
But then there's friends who are like, oh, well, I haven't heard from you in months.
They're upset.
Do you know what I do? I have a one friend. I love him so much. He reached out to me the other day and was like, hey, I have X, Y, and Z going on. I just want to give you a heads up. No need to respond. I know you're in recital season and you don't have that much bandwidth.
That's a keeper.
Girl. Keeper.
And then the people who can't have the emotional intelligence.
Girl.
To understand that.
Girl.
Are going to be placed in a bucket. And it says it here. A bucket that...
I don't give a fuck. Bucket. That's what it is.
It wasn't what I was going to say.
Is the gist of it?
It's the gist of it.
Okay,
but it's saying that you're going to go through an emotional discomfort of growth.
It's not. So it is. It definitely is.
Because you're going to miss the person, but then you're going to be like, you know what? Then you come to a realization like maybe this person didn't respect me enough, love me enough to respect the boundaries that I'm setting.
Yes. Listen, you know it. You've been here and you get it. Between the months of... What month am I in?
May.
No, between April. The months of March and June.
Yes. There's a lot that happens.
There's a lot that happens. And even more so now that I own the business, there is so much more that happens.
Yeah.
I can't fuck with you. I'm so sorry. I love you to death. And I promise you that I've seen your texts. I've seen the phone calls. I've seen it all. If I haven't responded... It's because I'm tired.
Yeah.
If I haven't responded, it's because you caught me and I was teaching. You caught me and I was ordering costumes. You caught me and I was doing something for the business. And I answered in my brain, but my brain doesn't have the capacity to remember.
Check back 3 hours later. Yeah.
Because it's so focused on this.
There are times where I walk up the steps and I'm looking at her. I'm like, today's not a day to go sit next to her or talk to her. I sit in the little corner and then she acknowledges me. When she acknowledges me, that's when I'm like, oh, okay. We're in the green light.
It's so true, though, because some days I'm like literally in my screen and I'm like, well, what is this? And how do I get this
it's
here?
It's the face. It's a very stoic face.
It's an RBF.
Yeah.
And I know I have one. I love my RBF. I'm laughing at your kid, too. I know that I have one.
She said resting baby face, not resting bitch face.
Because she knew better.
Oh, yeah, she did.
First off. I'll tell you after. So, it's an RBF, and I know it, and I love it. But guess what? It's there from March to the end of June. I'm sorry. I love you all. But respect that boundary. Respect it. And it's understand that it's not that I don't love you less. It's not that I de-appreciate our friendship any less. Whatever it may be, I just don't have the bandwidth to do it all.
No one does.
And can I
tell you why you gotta tap in sometimes?
Yo, Don't do that to me. Can I tell you how I don't know how I did it all plus have a full-time job?
Yeah.
Yeah. As I sit here now going through this season, this is my first season
without being...
without a corporate job.
Right. It's different.
Yo, I don't...
You're like, you, what? Where? How?
How did I do it all? How? I don't know how, but it got fucking done.
Yeah.
But I can also understand I was tired.
Yeah.
I'm not as tired as I was. And I do understand and I see it and mm-hmm. I see it happening for me. I'm not as tired. I definitely have a lot more energy than I did.
But you're still tired.
But I'm still tired. So that means that I was exhausted and I just kept pushing through.
Yeah. So on a individual level, those are some of the coping mechanisms you can attempt. But if you're looking for something a little bit more extensive, right? Support systems and professional help. When you're seeking therapy, consider these a life coach. Focus on that, and specifically those who work on boundary setting. You have a cognitive behavioral therapist, somatic therapy. Oh my God, somatic therapy, I want to try. Or is it yoga? Somatic yoga, I
want to try. Somatic yoga.
Somatic therapy, there are community circles, or you can have your sister circles because you can go back to your sistership, right? People who you trauma dump with, but you... I'm going to post it in the stories, but I sent it to us so they can be there. What's her name?
I'm looking now.
Yvette. What's her name? Yvette Nicole Brown is her name. She's an actress, right? And she talks about how her and her girlfriend, they have this thing with sad dump, happy dump, right?
Okay.
So one person, it's almost like a highs and lows kind of thing, right? I used to do that when I was working in the educational sector. At the end of my staff meetings, I used to do kudos, highs and lows. So you give a kudos to somebody who did something, who helped you, who did an achievement for the week.
A shout out.
Right. You do your highs of like your personal high of like what you experienced, and a low.
The roadblock.
Right. So she said her and her girlfriend have this thing when they call each other, depending who calls, the person starts the call with the high, and the person who is the receiving end either can share another high or share their low. So this way.
Okay, wait. So
if I call you.
Thank you.
I call you.
You called me.
And I had either a shitty week or something happened in the day that was really shitty, and I start my day saying, hey, I got a sad. Or whatever the term is that she says in the clip.
Yeah.
Right? Her friend, this...
Me?
You. No matter what experience that you have that was your good for the week or for the day...
I respond with a low.
Oh. You hold tight and don't say anything and you let me trauma dump.
Okay, you trauma dump on me.
Trauma dump, hold space. What do you need from me? How do you need me to show up? I'm sorry that happened to you, or I'm sorry that this happened, you know, whatever was unfortunate. Acknowledging the low.
Acknowledging what you're going through.
Right.
Being present in the moment.
Right. Letting the person release that so they're not holding on to it.
Okay.
And then now, once I've did all of that, I now close my mouth and hold space for whatever it is.
You hold space.
You hold space for me when I dumped.
Okay. Now you're quiet.
Now I'm quiet.
And I'm dumping.
And I can really, and I can be basking the joy of whatever it is that you want to share that joy
for. Okay.
So we get both ends.
Of the high and low.
Of the high and low together. So we can be sad together.
And high
together. And then now we can be joyous together.
Okay. So you have to do the opposite. If you came with the high, I got to give you my low. Right. If you came with the low, I got to give you my high.
Right.
Okay.
So that for me,
I like that
is a good form of sistership. That is a good form of being able to release that energy that you're experiencing. So that was a good one in terms of coping mechanism.
That's a great one. Mm-hmm.
Group therapy and journaling prompts. Now, when I say journaling prompts, I'm thinking affirmations or journaling your book,
so
diary, just letting it out.
Talking somewhere.
Exactly. We can list some of the different professional resources here. They mentioned BetterHelp, Therapy for Black Girls. I like that. Okay.
Therapy for Black Girls?
Uh-huh. Talkspace.
I like that too.
And then
Headspace.
Books that they mentioned. They don't have the Let Them Theory here, but we're going to put it again because let me tell you something. My girl, Mel.
We're going to put the Mel, Let Them Theory was good.
Sister girl, Mel. Okay. Setting Boundaries. The book is called... the other person that is good too that a lot of people... have like weaned off of is Brene Brown.
I love Renee also Brown.
She's also amazing. Oh.
She talks about a lot, be honest.
A whole lot of different things. So the books that
she has
recommend.
Good nuggets.
Yeah, a lot. Set boundaries, find peace. The body keeps the score. And that one is for, I guess, for relationship boundaries.
Okay.
So those are some nuggets. We'll drop them in to make sure that you guys have them to follow up.
In case. Definitely do let them there if you haven't.
Yep. And then, you know, for our conversation to continue on, because I'm pretty sure some of you guys may experience similar things or may not, and we may not have touched it. What boundary are you working on this season for yourself?
Absolutely.
And then what's one way you show up for yourself when others push back on your growth?
How do you say no?
And how do you stand firm?
10 toes down.
I was trying not to say all episodes.
I will say it. 10 toes down.
How do you stand firm on your no?
Toes down. I'll say it for her. Don't worry.
How do you stand on business?
Ooh, on business.
On business.
How do you stand on business? 10 toes down.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You're good.
Okay. Thanks, guys. See you later. Oh, no. We never
do it all the time.
I know.
We can switch it. Want to say see you later?
No, what do we normally say?
See you next time.
See you next time. Do we say wispies?
We can.
Okay.
Ready?
Yes.
You want to count us in?
Okay, 5, 4, 3, 2. See you next time, wispies. Oh, that sounded so nice.
Hey, wispies. Thank you for joining us for another hard-hitting girl talk. If you have a topic or question for us, send us a whisper at info@wineandwhispersclub.com. That's whispers with an S. See you next time, wispies.